Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5, 51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd, 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome into the Patriots Playbook. For Wednesday, hashtag WTF Wednesday, here on Patriots.com Radio. It, of course, means what's the focus Wednesday. And I have to admit, today I've been kind of wondering, what should the focus be? I think it's pretty obvious that the focus is the AFC Championship. The focus is the Indianapolis Colts. The focus is returning to a Super Bowl. The focus is trying to win another piece of Lombardi hardware. The focus is a lot of different things. So because I'm not sure, I hope the team has better focus than I have today, Eric Scalavino.
I think they do.
You get that impression?
Yeah, I think they will.
What were your impressions of that focus from the news conferences that they held earlier today?
I chose to go into the locker room and get the take the temperature in there
and?
As opposed to at the podium.
And?
A lot fewer guys talking than maybe normally would. Some of the predictable ones, Gronk, Ninkovich, Danny Amendola. Generally a reliable types of guys to give media quotes. But I think most of the guys were steering clear, which to me meant that they either were given a directive or just took it upon themselves to say, let's not even put ourselves in any sort of
direct
situation.
Line of fire.
Yeah.
Kind of like Rex Ryan did a little bit today. We'll talk about that in a minute. But
I think they're treating it very businesslike.
I think that's something that you would expect. So maybe, at least from the get-go, the focus would have to be business, all business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Patriots fans can certainly appreciate the business aspect for the Patriots, because that's something that this team has done pretty well over the course of the last 15 years or so since Bill Belichick has been here running the show. Fair to say?
Yeah.
All right. So if the focus is business.
Practice. It's their first practice of the day.
They're getting back out of the field today. They're putting in the game plan.
Very quickly about that,
yes.
No Brian Stork.
That we kind of figured, did we not?
Yeah, but
we don't
just
know the
officially
severity. We don't know the severity until 4 o'clock Eastern time when the report comes out. Correct.
I'm going to go on a limb and say he was going to be DNP.
Already.
Didn't practice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he'll be DNP.
There's not going to be. We won't know till Friday what his status is. But my guess is he's going to be DNP at least for today.
Right. Okay. So if he's DNP,
and he was the only one.
Right. Which should tell you that we had, some questions, I think, initially about Shane Vereen. Mm-hmm. We had some questions maybe about Brandon Browner.
And maybe they'll appear on the report as well, too. We don't know. But they were healthy enough at least to be out there on a limited basis. And, you're blinding me with your bling today, my friend.
You like that? You hadn't seen that?
I hadn't seen that. That's from last year, winning the Big East?
Correct.
That's some fancy stuff right there. Good for you.
Can't get it from anybody else, so.
No, but that's beautiful.
Thank you. I'm supposed to wear it whenever we
have. I'm digressing right here.
No, but that's fine, because we digress a lot. But that's because, whenever I'm, have a function, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to wear it.
And you have a function tonight?
There's a game tonight.
Well, that's considered a
that's
function.
That's considered
a
function.
Not like a non-basketball function?
Correct.
That's nice looking.
Thanks. Too bad this isn't television.
No, but that's okay. Just think of a Super Bowl ring on the...
It has a Providence Friar logo right in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
That's not bad. It's not bad. I'll take it.
Good for you.
Thank you. What were we talking about now?
Practice. Stork and,
right.
and Browner and Browner's Shane Vereen.
Back. Yes.
So those guys could still be on the list. We'll find out in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. But the fact that they were out there is good news.
All right. I'm guessing... If Stork is not a part of it, if he isn't already, largely considered out for Sunday, which we wouldn't know about until, you know, this weekend or Friday anyway.
Friday.
Then
that would be my focus, the offensive line.
It'd have to be, right? I mean, you're trying to figure out, all right, where do you think, you know, the edge can come? Where can the Colts get an edge?
Yeah, where is there a crack? Where is there a vulnerability?
And you can see that compared to when you played them in November, that could be an edge that could go from the Patriots side to the Colts side, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a potential concern.
And in an effort to try to shore up that side of the ball, in your estimation, what's the smartest move to play here?
Well, they didn't have Cam Fleming, the rookie, active last week. Nor did they have Jonas Gray. But offensive line specifically, they didn't have Cam Fleming. And I think, based on what I saw earlier this season, when they were still trying to figure out who their starting five were going to be, Cameron Fleming, I think, is a better option to fill in at right guard than Josh Klein.
See, now, I kind of agree with that. In fact, I think I even alluded to that toward the end of yesterday's show. I thought that if Cameron Fleming was healthy and back and ready to roll, that he would probably be a better option at guard than Klein.
Yeah,
You know that I haven't been a fan of Klein's. It's not so much that I don't think, you know, he can do it, but I just think that his inexperience is something that you'd rather not have to rely upon. Same thing with a guy like Jordan Devey.
Well, and Fleming, I mean, they're all inexperienced.
He's a rookie,
but he showed something a little bit more when he was part of that mix in the beginning of the season.
Especially when the Patriots ran the heavy package.
Yeah. Now he was on the end of the line
in
the Colts game in that. But I think if they have to replace Stork this week, which it's looking more and more likely that they will, Wendell, I think, will stay at center. And the only change you have to make is at the right guard spot where Wendell would normally be. And I think, based on what I saw earlier this season, Fleming would be a better option. He would have to be active this week, and they would probably deactivate Klein, I would think.
Okay. Well, if
or, you know, Devy, one of those guys would be deactivated.
But
I would say I think if Fleming were healthy last week, he might have gotten the call. I mean, not healthy. If he were active last week, he was healthy. If he were active, he might have been the one getting the call at right guard.
The play in the trenches, to me, has to be at least the initial focus, not only because of the Patriots and their situation with the offensive line, but because the Colts have an inclusion on their defensive line that they did not have in November.
Arthur Jones.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest one I can think of. Here's a guy that's a big load. He's their Vince Wilfork, for lack of a better phrase. And because of that, he's got the ability to collapse the pocket. He's got the ability to take up blockers. He's got the ability to let guys like Corey Redding get around and cause problems. Now, I don't think that Indianapolis's front four, with all due respect, I don't think that their front four is as man-to-man, as quick as Baltimore's.
But they also, they're a 3-4 team, though.
Mm-hmm. Largely, yes.
For the most part, right?
Yes.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just kind of continuing the thought. Because of that, I think that the Patriots will have an opportunity to scheme potentially properly to give Brady the kind of room and the kind of time that he needs. The other issue is for the linebackers and the defensive backs being able to provide enough coverage for a guy like Rob Gronkowski, who could clearly have a big day.
I think he will.
And I think he can have a big day. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, and this is where I kind of, the other focus for me is the tight end position. The tight end position
for the Colts,
the Colts tight end position was actually the most productive tight end slot in the NFL in terms of yardage and touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, there are three tight ends that they use. Yeah. Caught 18 touchdown passes. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of focus there from a Colts perspective on trying to hit the tight ends, because a lot of opposing defenses look first to T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne.
Yes, and they had the most success with their tight ends in the November 16th game.
Sure did.
I think
the Patriots let them.
Largely because they and we talked about this briefly yesterday, that I think that was the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, let the tight ends beat us. We got to take care of the more
You didn't
want to
get
things.
Beaten over the top.
And they didn't.
No.
They didn't, and it's fine. They got beat underneath. Something's got to give, and they let the tight ends give way, and they were able to get by with that. I think they could do that same thing again.
Well, then if we're looking at the offensive line against the defensive line, we're looking at the battle of the two tight end positions as well. Gronk will need to have a big day, as you know, clearly every time the Patriots have any kind of success, he's going to have a big day because that's usually the way it goes. If somehow, let's just say he does not, which of the receivers is likely to be in position to pick up the slack? I mean, we saw Danny Amendola come up big last week. I predicted that Julian Edelman would have a good game last week, and he ended up having a pretty good game last week. I think it was 8 catches overall.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else that comes to mind, or either one of those as a potential option?
Well, you think Davis would be on who? LaFell? Edelman?
Probably. Probably.
And Toler would be on Edelman, maybe?
Probably.
Maybe it is Amendola again.
Yeah, that's, again, I'm just thinking out loud here. That's kind of where I was doing some thinking this morning. All right, so if we match up this way or they go that way, maybe Danny Amendola is the kind of guy that could step up and have another huge game.
Maybe, but I tend to think that, this, with the exception of Gronk, the same guy doesn't tend to have the dominant game in back-to-back weeks. So I would deal with LaFell.
Interesting. Yeah. Why not? He's got strong hands, runs solid routes, got great yards after catch. Yeah, why not? Why not, you know, try to isolate him and see if he can't do some damage? Absolutely. That'd be a good call.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue, I think, and the other part of the focus, at least from an initial sort of evaluation here, has to be on the running game because of what Jonas Gray did back in November. And Jonas Gray was inactive last week against the Ravens. Best guess, does he get a crack at the Colts this week?
I mean,
I know that Indianapolis's defense is different.
Yes.
And Jones is in there, well, and they've got the return, I think, of what, 1-2 linebackers that didn't play a lot as well in November. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
it's a different team.
It is. I'm trying to think if they can get a – if they wanted to carry all four running – you know, not all four, but if they wanted to carry four running backs, would they be able to do that? Who they would have to deactivate instead?
That's where I'm really having a hard time with this.
I'm not sure if he is.
Where would the deactivation come from? You like Brandon Bolden because of his play on special teams.
Well, I don't, but they do.
They like Shane Vereen for his ability to catch
obviously,
out of the backfield,
and I want Shane Vereen out there.
And they signed LeGarrette Blunt for a reason.
Yes, and he did it last year to the Colts in the postseason.
What do you the problem? Here's the enigma. I mean, what do you do with Jonas Gray, even though he ran for 2 bills against the Colts?
He might be inactive again. I'm afraid.
Should that be a cause for concern?
No.
Is that a wrong decision to make? Should we not give him the benefit of the doubt because he had success against the Colts a couple of months ago?
Well, LeGarrette Blunt had just as much success against the Colts last playoffs. So, no, I'm not worried.
Okay.
They can still do it.
I get a sense that there may be a faction of fans, even maybe a slight faction of media, that are a little bit perplexed as to why Jonas Gray seems to be buried so deep in the doghouse.
I think
after one, what we think was well, one small transgression.
They might be looking at it as one small transgression, but they also might be blinded by the one overly productive game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the coaching staff has a lot more knowledge about Jonas Gray than any of us.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we saw in the preseason and training camp, there was an inconsistent player there. There were times when he had runs like he did against Indianapolis and other times when he wasn't so productive.
Mm-hmm.
It is conceivable that he just happened to have the game of his life the day that he was active and was the guy getting the ball all the time. And that he is not that kind of player enough for them to have faith in him to do it again. Whereas LeGarrette Blunt is that kind of player. So I think that might be something that people are being blinded by. They see one game where he rushes for 200 yards. I wouldn't expect him to rush for 200 yards every time he steps onto the field.
No.
He'd be running to Canton, Ohio, if that were the case.
Yeah, they'd be asking a little bit too much.
We don't have DeMarco Murray here, I don't think. Yeah, people, I think, need to calm down with the fact that this is the Colts and it's Jonas Gray who we're talking about. whatever they end up doing with him, I'm not so concerned if he's inactive or not, because I still think they'll run the ball without him. They can do it with Blunt. If they have to, they can put Bolden in there. And Bolden's a guy, don't forget, who before Gray turned up on the scene, people were saying, how come Brandon Bolden's not getting carries? Every time he gets in the game, he's doing something. Mm-hmm. People were saying that about him, and they were a little blinded by one good game he had against Buffalo a year or so ago. So whether or not Gray is active is not much of a concern for me. What is a concern is, do the Patriots run the ball more than they did against Baltimore?
Yeah. And I think the answer to that has to be an unequivocal yes.
Because I hope so.
I do think that you need to make sure that you are doing what you can to keep the ball out of Andrew Luck's hands. You want to win this game?
Yeah.
You want to go to the Super Bowl? You cannot let Andrew Luck beat you.
No, and I'd like to see it be a quick game. I'd like the clock to move. I'd like there to be few possessions in each quarter. I don't want this to be a back and forth, you know,
like the Ravens
four or five play drives and there's a score and then the other team gets the ball. I don't want the huge
you don't want to get caught into
play-by-play
statue. Yeah, you don't want to get caught into a racing
I want four,
match.
Five or six.
Track meet.
Yeah. Four to six drives per quarter total.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe long sustained drives. And you do that by running the ball, keeping the clock moving, balancing your offense, passing when you need to, running to set up that pass, running to gain some yardage. And this is a Colts team that can be run against.
It has been. It has been. Although they have improved.
They're better, yeah.
They have improved since playing the Patriots
sure.
in November.
I'll give them that. But you can still run against them.
Okay. That I think, to me, is my primary issue and my primary focus going in today. And I'm curious as to what yours is. And anybody who's listening today, of course, this is WTF Wednesday, so we want to know what your focus is. Give me one aspect of this game, of this football team, of this matchup with the Colts, that concerns you. Where should the Patriots' focus be? My focus is on establishing a run game because it was non-existent. That does sort of go in line with, you know, the play on the offensive line, which we've already touched on today, and what that, you know, personnel combination perhaps could be, even should be, come Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening against the Colts. I think that being able to run the football is something that needs to be done. We know that the Patriots are at their best in their passing game off of play action. You've got to sell the threat of the run before you can really be accurate with the throw. And to me, that's why you've got to be legitimate with that threat. If mm-hmm. I'm Indianapolis, mm-hmm. I'm almost daring the Patriots to run the ball because I'm not convinced that they can. And if they learn that Jonas Gray is inactive or, you know, whatever you, then I'm laying back. I'm saying, okay, run the ball on us because we don't think you can beat us running the ball.
Wow, that'd be a mistake if they don't think the Patriots can run the ball on them.
Well, I'm trying to look at it from the other team's point
learn,
of view. You want to try to make them somewhat one-dimensional. That's what the Patriots always try to do to the opposition.
Right, but when a team has already done that to you, I don't think you can be that confident saying, well,
but
you can't run against us.
They did that in November. It was a different team. They did that last year. It was a different team.
You have to prove it, though.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Colts would say, all right, prove it to us. You can do it again. We don't think you can.
Okay.
You got to choose your
I'll
poison.
Take my chances,
What's
yeah.
your poison? If you're the Colts, would you rather have the Patriots running the ball or the Patriots torching you up the middle with Rob Gronkowski?
The pass is more dangerous, so yeah, go ahead and run
Bingo.
The ball.
That's
sure.
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying here. You've got to.
The problem is if they're running the ball effectively, then you're still screwed.
Well, then that's why you have to game plan. That's why you have to come up with plan B, just like the Patriots have. And clearly we saw that the Ravens had a lack of a really good plan B this last weekend, which is why the Patriots are alive and playing this weekend. Part of it. All right. So where is your focus? 855-PATS-500 is the telephone number. It's toll free. 855-728-7500. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Got the 2800, thank goodness.
Now let's did, keep, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Went over the top.
We're over the top.
All right, now
3K.
3K by the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Hashtag Rook needs 3K, something like that. You know, we're gonna get there by the time the Super Bowl's over. We're going to see if we can work on that. And then John.Rook on Facebook. Now, two other quick things that I wanted to get your thoughts on before
okay.
you get out of here and start writing.
Yep.
Number one, let's start anyway, stay with the Patriots and what Ray Lewis had to say about Tom Brady to ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. Did you find that at all? You did find it? All right, for those of you that have not heard what former Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis had to say to ESPN's Stephen A. Smith on his radio show. Just take a listen.
Well, out of conscience, but just think about this, Stephen A. Honest to God, when we, the first time we created something called a tuck rule, it's the only reason we know, I'm just being honest, the only reason we know who Tom Brady is because of a tuck rule. There's no such thing as a tuck rule. If the ball is in your hand and I knock it out your hand, whether it's going backwards, forward, lateral, sideways, however it's coming out, that's a freaking fumble. But guess what we created? We created a freaking tuck rule. All of these new rules, I'm telling you, and listen, it's their game. So they're going to run it the way they want to run it because they run it and they pay for it and all of this. But, man, there are certain rules that should not be allowed to be in this game of football.
All right, that's what he told Stephen A. Smith. And to paraphrase the remainder of the conversation, it was largely that we would not have Tom Brady as we now have him without the tuck rule starting it all. Forget the fact that, you know, he won two other Super Bowls that, you know, had nothing to do with the tuck rule at all, which you know, I know, we all know here. Fact of the matter is that he believes the tuck rule game started the legend that is Tom Brady right now. And he sounded pretty adamant about
angry.
That.
He sounded
almost angry. Yeah.
Almost angry. The way you just sounded. Tom Brady wouldn't be Tom Brady if it wasn't for the tuck rule. And this is a three-time Super Bowl champion that you're talking about. Somebody that you beat in the playoffs, mind you. But nevertheless, he's Tom Brady. And you're basically
they
just
don't
sounding
go.
Like,
they don't go to that championship game. They don't go to that championship game. If that tuck rule, if that ball is not, is called a tuck, that's a fumble. Charles Wilson made that man clearly fumble the ball. And they named it a tuck rule, something that we've never heard in today's game. So now you got to ask yourself, when did the legacy really start? See, man, look, I'm a football historian. I love moments. I love moments. So a lot of people watch just the TV from the game and say, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong. Go back to the moments of when things started. That's what I'm telling you, we're creating. When I came in this league, there was no such thing as a defenseless player. There was no such thing, see? There's no such thing if I'm a linebacker and I'm sitting there and somebody's going to catch the ball that I have to sit there and say, okay, let me let him catch it and make a football move before I hit him. Are you freaking serious?
Wow. So there you go.
Yeah. He was heated.
He was your boy.
Be, John Halam on the mound against El Duque.
He was Joe Hijimi.
He was pretty heated.
Yeah, he was.
And he made some valid points.
Okay.
In there.
All right.
First of all, let me criticize where he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make up the tuck rule there on the spot.
It was a rule.
It was on the books.
It was on the books.
It wasn't maybe. It wasn't necessarily called the tuck rule. There was, you know, they don't have names for rules necessarily.
Right.
But
it became the tuck rule after it was, after it was invoked.
It gained that name. Yeah.
After it was invoked.
Right. It was
right.
A rarely, if ever, used call, but it was already on the books. So
right.
it's not like Walt Coleman made it up mm-hmm. right there on the spot and mm-hmm. allowed them to do that. So he's wrong about that. He's right about the fact that if they don't win that game, things are different. They don't go to the Super Bowl. Maybe Belichick doesn't get brought back as head coach. Maybe Brady's not the quarterback here again. Things would be completely different.
Really? You think that it could
yes.
have done that?
Yes.
In back in 2001? You think it could have happened?
Let's go back to 2001 for a second.
All right.
They were 5-5.
Right.
After the Rams beat them here in Foxborough, and Belichick had made the change because Bledsoe had gotten hurt. If they go through the playoffs, as they did, and people were already second-guessing, well, Bledsoe's healthy again. Do you go back to Bledsoe, or do you stick with the guy that brought you this far? There was that debate raging. He wasn't Tom Brady back then, remember. He was
right.
still the kid out of Michigan who was, you know, the 199th pick. If he loses that game to the Raiders, they clearly don't win the Super Bowl that year. They don't make it to the AFC Championship game. Things are different. The Crafts maybe have to, because at the time when they were starting that season off, there was talk already there that, you know, if Belichick doesn't get it done this year, and he had a slow start to that season, maybe it's time to make a change. Now, it could have been argued that if they don't win that game, maybe Belichick doesn't stick around. Maybe Brady's not the guy that gets chosen when the new coach comes in. Things would have been completely different. He's right about that. The entire universe, there might not be any Patriot place. There might not have been three Super Bowls. If they don't win that first one, I don't think they even get the next two because I don't think Belichick is
I would argue differently. If that doesn't happen, maybe somehow they win two more because you just don't know. Maybe they beat the Giants. Maybe David Tyree doesn't, you know, pull it out of his butt.
But Belichick would have to be here.
Not necessarily.
Oh, come on now, John. They're not going undefeated in 2007.
Was Bill Belichick really that much in trouble in 2001?
Yes. At the beginning of that season, yes, he was. And then when
His second season.
Yes.
Okay.
That's usually
when 5-11 in the first one.
That's usually when coaches start to feel the heat.
Okay. And he started out 5-5, but he got his team into the playoffs.
He did.
So he only won 5 of his first 21 games as head coach of the Patriots. Yes, that's correct. He was 5-11 the first year, and then 5-5 the next year. No,
so
that's
10.
Right. 10 of the
so
first
10.
21.
Yeah, so I was going to say, yeah.
No, he was 10-21, so it'd been 10 of the first 31.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And if they go in the playoffs and you have your franchise quarterback, who's Drew Bledsoe.
Wrong math. Yeah.
You're the coach who says, I'm taking the $100 million quarterback that we just signed and putting him on the bench in favor of this sixth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're the coach. You know what you're doing. You win the Super Bowl, you get a free pass. You don't win the Super Bowl, you lose in the divisional round, then you have a reason for an owner to say, maybe you're not quite what we thought you were. That's how people were thinking back then.
See, that's why I brought this up today, because I knew you would bring something to the table like this. You're very predictable.
I'm a historian.
Yes.
I'm a football historian.
You're
I remember moments.
That's right. That's exactly right. And
moment that people...
And you are. And whether or not Ray Lewis really is or not right now, I don't care. But I knew that Eric Scalavino was, and that you would remember, and that you could recall, and you could reflect.
That's right.
I knew that. See?
Hold on now.
So he's right when he says things would have been different. The whole football universe would have been different if that call had stayed a fumble. If Walt Coleman hadn't gone back and said it was a tuck. I also agree with Ray that there are far too many rules in the rule book. There need to be fewer of them.
The NFL rule book, in fact, I saw a piece on Matt Chatham's Football by Football column website this week, where he actually dove into the whole issue over the trickeration the Patriots had last weekend over the unbalanced offensive line.
Yep.
And it was actually very well done. And he tried to explain it somewhat for the uninitiated, you know, in football terms. And I largely, he took a couple of shots at the playbook, and he's right. He's absolutely right. It made perfect sense to me. The playbook needs to be, the NFL rule book, rather.
The rule book needs
to be
streamlined. Right. There's far too many complicated things that are in there, and it's not the same football game. He's right. Ray's right about that. There's too much. I mean, I am all for protecting the players, and I don't want cheap shots. I don't want shots to the head. I don't want any of that crap. I don't want defenseless players being taken out and concussed, but you can do that with fewer rules in the book. You can allow the refs to. You can have enough faith in them to let them make a judgment call. Is that play out of bounds? As far as I don't mean out of bounds. Not technically, I mean is that unsportsmanlike conduct?
Right. Right. Yeah.
I think you can allow them to have a judgment call. You don't need to have write specifically that a player can't hit at this part of the body or whatever. Just allow the official to look at it and say, was that unnecessary?
You know what you can really do?
Throw the flag.
And we've talked about this already this season. You can really simplify a lot by making any play on the field questionable. In other words, under the guise of a coach's challenge.
Exactly.
You got two challenges.
Right.
Use them wisely.
Two challenges per half. And use them on whatever you want.
And use them on whatever you want.
And we'll take a look at the video.
Right.
And if you're wrong, we take your challenge and your timeout. And if you're right, good for you.
That would be a huge simplification of the entire
process.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The NFL rulebook is like the U.S. tax code. It's far too damn complicated and needs to be streamlined. You can have it down to one or two pages. Okay. That's it.
Well, interesting perspective. Thank you for bringing that. I feel quite certain that there will be others that will disagree with you, but that's kind of what I was hoping to get at a little bit today in case our fans, our listeners, had not had a chance to hear Ray Lewis's comments. There you have them. I'd love to get your thoughts. I think he's, you know, as you said, he made some good arguments. But at the same time, it seems to me that he's still very angry about something.
Yes,
and I wonder if
I wonder what that is.
I'm wondering if that's shared by a lot of other, you know, players or ex-players around the league over Brady's and or the Patriots' legacy as this process continues toward another potential appearance in the Super Bowl.
I have no doubt about that. That there are plenty of jealous players around the league who have looked at this franchise's success and have wondered the same thing.
The other issue that I want to ask you about quickly is Rex Ryan and his press conference in Buffalo today.
Same old Rex.
Being introduced, and he says, is this thing on? Because it's about to get on, you know, right off the top, which I loved. It's perfect Rex.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked about him several times, and I'm very happy he's back. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy that he's still in the AFC East. I'm very happy that we get a chance to see him twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thrilled to death.
I wonder if he is going to make people hate the Buffalo Bills the way they hate the New York Jets.
Yes, he is. He totally will. And I
only if he makes them competitive.
I think, first of all, already defensively, they are competitive.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is the irony in this entire thing. Because Rex is already a pretty good defensive coach, and we've acknowledged that.
Yes.
Where he lacks and where his teams have lacked have been on the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the exact situation he's walking into in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a quarterback. Is he going to rely on E.J. Manuel?
Well, maybe they'll go get one.
Okay. Well,
that's what off seasons are for.
Good luck to you.
That's all
I know. Good luck to you. I did like the fact, though, that he guaranteed playoffs.
Oh, well, come on. What did you expect?
Playoffs?
What did you expect from him?
I mean,
anything less?
Playoffs?
What did you expect from him?
Playoffs?
Thank you, Jim Mora. No, I just, you know,
we couldn't do diddly poo.
Well, that's just it. The Buffalo Bills haven't done diddly poo in 15 years.
Yeah.
They did get closer this year. They were 9-7. So if Rex doesn't screw this up, next year could be the year. So he might be a little bit closer to that prediction than a lot of people give him credit for.
Maybe. They need a quarterback, though.
Yes, they do. But they do have a couple of pretty good running backs. They do have a really talented wide receiver that they basically mortgaged, you know, their this year's draft for in Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
So there are some pieces to the puzzle that are in place in Buffalo that could be utilized to their advantage. I think it's great, though. And again, Buffalo did beat New England the final week of this regular season. I realize that the Patriots didn't put their full card. They didn't
asterisk.
Play all their cards. Yeah, there's an asterisk probably next to the result. Nevertheless, they did win. And so that's going to help them, I think, in future games starting next year from a confidence point of view. We went into Foxborough. We beat the Patriots. So that's going to happen. But I just wanted to get your two cents on it because, frankly, I'm very happy.
Sure.
I'm very happy. Now we have another AFC East punching bag that we can get to.
It's good fodder for
off season
for the off of the oh it's good fodder twice a year too when we have to play him.
All right, we got a lot of things stirring up today. I'd love to get your thoughts on Rex Ryan in Buffalo. Love to get your thoughts on Ray Lewis and what he had to say about the Tuck rule being the start to the Tom Brady legacy as we know it today. And yes, what is your focus for the Indianapolis Colts? What part of the game, what position, what area, what, you know, overall viewpoint do you have? Where should the Patriots be focusing their preparation for the Colts in the AFC Championship this Sunday? 855-PATS-500, toll-free number, webradio at patriots.com, email at JRBroadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. You got a word? You got a word?
I got two for the price of one today. How's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather around the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I tell you what, John, I'm giving you two words of the day for the price of one, and they're somewhat related, and they relate directly to the Patriots.
All right, go.
First one is Ledger Domain.
Ledger Domain?
Mm-hmm.
And it's on two words?
No, it's one word. And the second one is prestidigitation.
Well, I know prestidigitation.
Oh, you do?
But ledger domain, I'm not sure about.
Okay, well, there. If you know prestidigitation, what's that?
Prestidigitation is like magic.
Exactly. Ledger domain is sleight of hand.
Ah. Okay.
So they kind of are related.
I'd never heard that word before.
They're kind of related subject matter. And I relate them to the Patriots because against Baltimore, we saw examples both of prestidigitation and ledger domain.
All right. Well, the prestidigitation
in the second half.
In the second half. All right. So which was which?
I don't know. Take your pick.
So you're telling me they're related?
They are related. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The four offensive line ineligible player thing.
That was prestidigitation. Was
could have been some magic there or some sleight of
hand.
I
prefer to think of that as ledger domain.
So that'd be sleight of hand.
Okay. Yes.
And then the magic trick was the
double pass.
The double pass.
Yeah. Okay.
So there you go.
Okay. I like it.
How's that?
That works. Finally, something I understand.
I gave him a word he knew. He's so happy now.
Woohoo! I'm not a complete dolt.
Good thing I threw two of them out there today. Increased your chances.
Hey. 500 gets me in the Hall of Fame, baby. That's all I'm saying. All right, Eastgal.
I may be here tomorrow. I may not. We're trying
not
to wrangle
sure
another.
Right.
I need to beat down the Colts guy on NFL Network.
Ooh.
They liked my beat down of the Ravens guy so much. They're asking.
They're
me
bringing
to do it
you
again.
Back on NFL Now.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We just have to figure out the timing because of our schedules. Our media schedules are not aligned with the two teams, so we're trying to find a mutual time that we can do.
All right.
It.
Well, then if we see you tomorrow. We see you.
Yeah.
If not, then you better be
just,
performing a beat down.
Oh yeah. Don't you worry.
Eric Scalavino at @E_Scal if you want to follow him on Twitter. All right, let's do a timeout. Then we'll come back and let's hit the phones. If you're on the lines, hang right where you are. If you're not, 855-PATS-500 is how you call in. Where's your focus? And do you have comments either way on Ray Lewis and or Rex Ryan today? That's what we want to know in the playbook.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The shots have rung out here in frigid Foxborough as the sun sets and darkness begins its descent on Gillette Stadium. Flacco pulls away, play fake, and a bootleg to the right. Fires out to the right side. Catch made by Kamar Eakin. And across the 10, Collard at the 5, but he fights into the end zone. And a touchdown for the former Patriot to give Baltimore the early lead.
You know, I thought the guys really hung in there, you know, down by 14 to start the game.
Brady got leveled again in the pocket.
This offensive line, it's time to grow, set. You're the number one seed. I don't know if it's Coach Gooch. It's got to take control on the sideline, but they got to get a set.
Black off the shotgun snap, throwing for Smith into the end zone. A bobbling, diving grab, and a touchdown for Baltimore.
We're down 14-0. It's amazing.
Behind twice by 14 wasn't necessarily in the plans. Took a lot of good execution to overcome it.
Third and goal to go, right hash mark of the 4. Tom drops back, steps up. Brady's going to run. Brady is going to score. Touchdown, Patriots!
And he spikes it. We got life.
Second down and 10 from the 15. Ball on the right hash with trips to the left. Brady, quick throw, left side. And Amendola makes the grab. Left out of a tackle. Amendola to the 5. Diving to the pylon. Touchdown, woo, Patriots!
We got one. Here we go, boys.
Can't say enough about Dan. Really works hard, tough. And he's had some big plays for us this year. He had some big ones today.
Tom throws down the middle. Ball intercepted by Daryl Smith. Makes the catch inside the 45. And he's cut down with a diving tackle by Amendola. Flacco swings it to the right flat for Forsett. An open row to the end zone. Touchdown, Baltimore.
That could be your ball game right there, folks. That could be it.
Tom stands it. Tom's under pressure, and Tom goes down again. Sacked at the 34, and Darrell Suggs there for the Ravens.
Look at this.
At least some pushing and shoving that breaks out as Bravey is shoved to the turf.
You know, I thought the guys really hung in there. Down about 14 in the third quarter. They, you know, we just battled back. They hung in there, and, you know, we made a couple, you know, big plays.
Play fake by Tom. In the pocket, steps up. Fires down the middle for Gronkowski. Catch made across the 25. Driving Melvin inside the 15.
What I say? Beat him.
Brady takes the snap. Throws for Gronkowski. Catch is made. Touchdown, Patriots.
Hey, those guys got to study the rule book and, you know, figure it out. We obviously knew what we were doing.
Amendola along with Gronk. Now Edelman motions out in front. Quick throw for Julian, setting up a screen. He's going to look to throw downfield. Amendola wide open. Makes the catch at the 18 and strike.
He's gone. Touchdown, Patriots. The roof's off. Momentum is back at the Razor.
Josh called it at the perfect time. We actually got the perfect look. Star blitz right off of it. They bit up, you know, obviously to try to go tackle Jules, and Danny slipped behind him, and Jules threw a dime.
Brady pointing out to Mike linebacker waiting on the snap. Late clock counting down. Tom has it. Pressure from his right. Throws to the left side for LaFell.
Touchdown, Patriots! What a throw from Tom Brady to Brandon LaFell! And New England finally has the lead. The
guy looked like he had his right arm, you know, kind of arm barred, and he caught it with his left, and it was a great play.
From the Patriot 36, a shotgun snap to Flacco, drops back against a four-man rush, throws down the left side, Torrey Smith got behind the defense, the ball's intercepted by Daron Harmon! Harmon makes the pick, coming over, and it just clipped a trip to the AFC Championship!
We're coming back next week, and that's all I know! I don't need sleep! Who needs sleep? Losers need sleep! And you can take your 28 for 42 for 304 scores right back to Inner Harbor with you. We're going to the AFC Championship game, brother.
Losers need sleep. That is classic. Good job, Kay Collins.
Where's the beef?
Oh, Bob Soucy and the one and only Scott Zolak on the radio call. Wow, that's pretty good. I like that. My favorite line in the whole clip, though, the whole clip range, though, was that the roof's off. Well, duh. Last I saw it, it's not exactly a closed roof situation in Foxborough. Oh, my goodness. That's pretty good. All right, 855-PATS-500. Let's get to the phones. Thanks, everybody, for hanging on. Let's start it off with Nick in Vegas. Hey, Nick, you're in the playbook.
Hey, good morning, John.
How's it going?
My focus is, okay, I listened to both PFW and Playbook yesterday and everything so far today on PFW, and Paul Ferillo thinks that it's going to be a borderline blowout, and his reasoning for it is, a lot of it is, he don't think the defense will play as bad. So one thing I haven't heard brought up yet is, you know how quarterbacks always have, if they play really bad, they have, like, the great quarterbacks, but they play really bad. They have a bounce back game. I'm wondering if Revis could have a bounce back game since he had one of his worst games, if not the worst, as a Patriot. That's one.
Yeah, that's a good question. Sure.
And the other one is, do you wanted to get your opinion on that? And also, do you think there's any chance of the letdown? Because you see it over and over when teams are a touchdown or more favored. It's just like a natural tendency. They don't think that the other team is that big a threat, and they just won't. You know, they just won't. They tend to have a letdown, and those are the ways that I see that the Patriots could lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But Paul Ferillo thinks it's going to be a blowout, and so I wanted to kind of get your opinion on that. The Ray Lewis thing is fascinating, though. That's a great topic,
isn't it? Yeah, I kind of thought so too. All right, let's start then with the issue of the game. Look, I love both Paul and Andy and obviously Fred. I think they're very knowledgeable football guys, but they also thought last week was a blowout too. So I think that's all you need to know.
Right. But that's why I asked the question, because there's usually the truth usually lies somewhere in the middle. And
the truth was that it was a close game. Truth was that, you know, in this program we called the close game. So, you know, I've been more accurate than not, you know, when it comes to, you know, the actual margin. Now, I've picked some close games that turned it out to be not close games. That's very true. So let me call my own butt out on the carpet. All I'm saying is that, you know, for anybody to make a blanket statement that they know is really kind of a little ridiculous. That's all.
Right. right, but we can agree the Colts are, they are an improved team, and they do have Arthur Jones back, and the signs are there that they're going to make this a dogfight. And so if the Patriots do have a letdown, you know, it's a, but I'm also fascinated if Revis, because I think he's the best cornerback in the league. All you hear now is that Richard Sherman is. I still think it's Revis, and he had a game that would, I would think it'd be embarrassing to him,
mm-hmm.
that good. So I would think if he could do something really special this game, I mean, I haven't heard it mentioned.
Well, you know, he did have, and I think I termed this yesterday, he did have more of a pedestrian game, more of a normal game this last week, because he did get beat a couple of times by the Ravens. Could he potentially bounce back? Well, look, I'm not so sure that the Patriots' coverage is going to be the same as what we saw them in November against these Colt receivers, because if you're going to do that, what are the Colts doing then in terms of their study? They're going to look at that film and say, okay, well, this is what they did last time. So it would be incumbent upon the Patriots to come up with a different game plan. Let's switch it up. And one of the things that they have done very, very well is they have switched their coverages up in the secondary. They've mixed and matched. They haven't necessarily stuck to the obvious plays, which in this case might be Darrell Revis with T.Y. Hilton. May or may not be. My guess is that you'll see a little bit of everything. I actually thought that's where the Patriots erred in some of their decision-making last week against the Ravens, because they put Brandon Browner on a guy that he clearly had trouble with. So I'm hoping that common sense prevails. What you have to do in situations like this, Nick, is not overthink it. Let's start with what we know to be the case. And what we know to be the case is that you've got versatility, so we're going to start here, but we're going to plan on moving things around a little bit. We don't want Andrew Luck getting set in his ways. We don't want him getting comfortable. And so we're going to stick to that game plan. And if they do that, then I think that'll be fine, and Darrell Revis will have his chance to make a play somewhere.
Well, the look on his face when he got the penalties called on him, and they made a big deal out of it in the broadcast, was that it was the only, he had never, you know, things were happening to him that never happened to him. And so I can't imagine him not having a bounce back game, because he's as elite a player as you'd ever want.
You make a very good point. I thought that he was 50-50 on those calls. One was a good call, one was not. So that's fine. And players are going to get beat from time to time. And if you've got superior athletes out there, sometimes you have to just tip your cap to the other guy. You know, and if it costs you a game, it costs you a game. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's why it's a competition. Sometimes the other guy's going to get the best of you. It's how you respond. And I see what your question is here, because you're betting that a guy like Revis is going to respond in the affirmative and have a better game.
And that's going to be a big deal, because their whole thing is they're going to try to beat us throwing. And if it's, you know, it's the little things matter in really close games. And I'm just thinking that he could show up. My other thing, and I'll get off and let you talk to other callers, is do you think there's the possibility of a letdown? Because I keep hearing that there's no possibility of it, and I certainly hope there's not. And
Nick, there's always
Joe Sean.
Nick, that's human. That's human nature. That's absolutely human nature to have a letdown. You brought it up earlier when you opened up your conversation here by saying, you know, hey, it's a 7-point favorite. I'm wondering if that might have had something to do. No, I don't think it did, but I think subliminally you're thinking, all right, we should be better than these guys, so you probably aren't quite as on edge to start a game as maybe you should be. And I think that's just human nature, which is why the whole business of point spreads and everything else, that's why you hear, you know, players and the Patriot players, they're not paying attention to any of the quote-unquote noise. And the guys were the ones that were on the podium earlier today for the press conferences. They were all basically saying the same thing. And that's why I think that they're saying those things. Coaching staff is reminding them, the veterans have reminded them, hey, this is all about business.
Could we agree that the Colts are a better team than the Ravens? I think they absolutely are, that's a starting point.
I would say, see, it's hard for me to wrap my hands around that, and I'll tell you why. Because the Patriots did beat them 42-20 2 months ago. It's a different Colts team. I certainly will allow for that. But better than the Ravens? I don't think they're as physical as the Ravens. I don't think they're going to get punched in the mouth like the Ravens punched the Patriots in the mouth this last week. I don't think the Colts have the running game that the Ravens had last week. I don't think the Colts have quite the physical defensive line that the Colts have. That's not to say the Colts line isn't good. It is good. It's different. Let's see if the Colts' way of playing can bring about a different result than what came about the Ravens. That's the issue right now. The Colts better have the Patriots' respect, because if they don't, the Colts can win the game, and I did say that last week as well.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. I love the playbook. You have a great show, John.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate your phone call. Here's Dana in Connecticut. Dana, you're up next here in the playbook.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate
it. How you doing today?
Excellent.
Okay, I got a couple observations and then one comment. I think you know, we put up 35 points against what I consider a much better Raven defense than we're going to see this weekend in with the Colts. So I think offensively we'll be okay. I'd like to see us take our time and limit the possessions that Luck has, but I'm concerned about our defense, especially with the question mark with Browner. Could be an issue. I think they're better offensively than the Ravens, especially in the pass attack and Luck's ability to improvise. Their tight ends are going to hurt us. I hope, Chung and company, we have a scheme to slow that part of it down. That's how I see it coming down. I think we're going to score in the mid to high 40s. I just hope it's not 45-41 late. Our defense is sometimes inconsistent this year. We've had games where they just can't stop the run. They can't cover the tight ends. They're late in the flats. Hightower's a little late getting out there. I'd like to see them move Jamie Collins to the outside to get some pressure. I think he's being wiped up in the wash there. Every so often he'll cut through the gaps, the C gap and the A gap, to get in there. But I'd like to see him on the outside. Ninkovich hasn't really been getting pressure out there. I don't know if there's any possibility of Jones and Collins coming in from the edges. That might help put pressure. So that's my observation on the game.
Well, that's pretty. Let's take it a piece at a time here. I like your thoughts on Collins, but I would also tell you that I think he's too valuable in coverage to swap it and put him down in a stance on the defensive front. You know, they might bring him in on a rare zone blitz or delayed blitz of some kind like that, which we've seen him do in the past. But I just think he's too valuable in coverage, especially where they can match him up with a guy like a Kobe Fleener. I would be stunned, really, if we saw him actually pinning his ears back and going after the quarterback. And I think we all know Patriots ends and the pass rushers don't pin their ears back anyway. They are in a zone type of situation where they're forced to keep the edge because they have to stay strong in the run game. And that's one thing that they really kind of lost that edge a bit this past week against Baltimore, and they have to go about trying to reattain this week against the Colts. I don't think the Colts are as heavy a run threat, with all due respect to Boom Heron. I don't think they're the threat to run that Justin Forsett was with Baltimore. So I think that already the Patriots are a little ahead of the game. It'd be the great part about this chess match is to see what the Colts might end up doing here in terms of trying to attack what might be a perceived weakness all of a sudden with the Patriots against the run. So the Patriots have got to figure out a way. See, they've got to stay a half a step ahead. That's the beauty of this, and that's why they won the game this last week, because they were a half a step ahead of Baltimore and John Harbaugh and that entire staff. And they didn't even have to show it until the third quarter with all the substitution, wrangling that they were doing. But I think that set a tone, and it confused Baltimore, and it led to confusion on that side of the ball, and it allowed the Patriots to complete a comeback. I'm not sure it has to get that way this week. But I would tell you that they're going to have to pay attention. Like I said earlier, my biggest focus on that side of the ball is on covering those tight ends. I don't think they can give up on T.Y. Hilton, because he can burn you deep, and I think we know that. I think Reggie Wayne is still capable. And the kid Dante, the other wideout, he is, I think.
Moncrief.
Yes, thank you. Dante Moncrief. Mm-hmm.
He's the X factor.
Yeah,
because
he concerns
Wayne
me.
Doesn't scare me at all.
Yes,
Moncrief does. He could have a big game against.
Which is
him.
Why I think Brandon Browner's. I think Browner's spot this week might actually be Wayne. Call me crazy. I think that might actually be a little better for him. You might see Revis, certainly on T.Y. Hilton, and I think you're going to find someone like Collins. I think you're going to find a safety help over the top. You're going to find a nickelback. You're going to see double coverage on one of those tight ends.
Right. Well, I agree. You know, good point with Collins that taking him out of the coverage package by putting him on the edge is a big big minus. I didn't think of that. You're 100% right on point. You got to keep him there for coverage because he's such a great athlete.
And the way that the Colts can damage you with their tight ends, just like the Patriots can with Gronkowski, I'd be scared to death to take him out of a place where we know he can already excel.
I agree. We do have to stop the run first and foremost. We got to contain Luck, and I think we'll be okay. Defensively, if we play our A game, we should win the game going away. Offensively, I don't think we'll have any trouble scoring on Indy.
I'm a little concerned. I would tell you, Dana, I'm a little concerned about ball control because of the way the running game just completely crapped the bed last week. I realize that they got away with it.
Really tough.
Yeah.
Their defense was really stout, and they always play us tough.
But I want to see this team, you know, commit to running the ball when they need to and getting the short yards when they need it. And, again, without a guy like Brian Stork in there, you know, who seems to have been a glue guy for that entire offensive front this year, it does concern me until I see differently. Until I see differently, I'm going to have that doubt, and I think other teams are going to have that doubt, whether it's, you know, Indianapolis this week or in 2 weeks, it's either, you know, Seattle or Green Bay. If the Patriots are fortunate enough to advance, they're going to rightfully challenge the Patriots' ability to run the ball. So I want to see them commit to something like that to take the heat off of Tom, because he got battered in that first half. Only sacked twice, but he got hit, I think, 9 times. And that can't happen, because that's going to rattle anybody. I don't care how good you are.
Well, our offensive line has been our weak spot all year. So you're right. We do need to establish a run against anybody moving forward as well. And that could be a problem. But we can, you know, the only way I see us hurt is if Brady has an off game and he misreads, misfires a few times, and we have to depend on a run, that could be a problem. I think we got to come out and establish the pass early, a short passing game, because they're going to be, predictably, Indy's going to be looking to stop the run because of how we gashed them last time. So I would reverse it. I'd come out and throw short, get them loose a little bit, and then get Blunt going in there, and hopefully Jonas can get back in there and Bolden. You know, I don't think we're going to have a problem scoring points against Indy. I'd like to just make one quick point on this Ray Lewis. I'm coming out of my skin with this.
Okay.
First and foremost, I mean, I just can't get over that this guy would make a comment like that. I mean, you got to know Brady's competitive nature and his work ethic. No matter what happened that game, it's inevitable that Brady was going to be a success in this league. And to make these assumptions and to devalue what he's done, 5 AFC titles, 3 Super Bowl victories, 2 MVPs, season MVP, to devalue that and say if this one play didn't happen, if he didn't get acquitted, he wouldn't be in the NFL. It's silly to make stupid comments like that.
Yeah, he'd be in prison.
That's right. And shame on ESPN, and his days are numbered there, because he's an angry man, and he's a very bitter man. And it's coming out of him, and what's inside his heart is pouring out of his mouth. But Brady is too good for this, and I just can't get over that he would make a comment like that. And it just shows that people are so jealous of this 15-year run the Patriots are on, and no one's really going to appreciate this until we get 5 to 10 years removed from it. They're going to look back and say, what a dynasty that organization was and is. Because it's amazing in this era of you know, caps and salaries and all that. 15 years, and look at all the wins and success they've had together as a group.
Sure.
And to take it away and say it would have never happened if it were not for one play is just ignorance. And that's all I have to say on that. And I thank you for the call. I appreciate it, John.
Dana, it was very well said. Thank you for the call, and couldn't have said it better, so I won't. Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John. How you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I'm feeling pretty good, too.
Glad.
You know,
good.
I got concerns and focus. My focus is offensive line against the defensive line, since Stork ain't going to be playing. Defensive line against, you know, getting pressure on Love. And I understand what that caller just said, you know, keep Collins out there, you know, coverage, first by blitzing. I blitz him in coverage, too. But my question is, and I said it the other day, if you got pressure with the other two guys you brought in, and they have covered line, tight end, and running backs out the backfield, why not use them instead of having them on the sideline? I know you might not start them, But there got to be some kind of sub-patches that you can use those guys in. And what you're talking about, Moncrief, and have Browner on I got the other receiver now.
Reggie Wayne? Yeah.
Might be the good one. But still, again, Moncrief can kill Arrington, Ryan, or Dennis, if Dennis playing. You know, because of the speed.
Well, then that would also be a case then for, you know, moving Revis around a little bit, giving him a little taste on Moncrief.
Yeah, that too. But then you got T.Y., and I guess you got doubled in with somebody over the top of him also. But either way it goes, it's a miss a match, just a dab, whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? You got to try something that's going to work. And he said that short passing game, if I was the coach, I'd come out with the same defense against that I used against them. Because we do just about the same thing Denver do. Short passes, swing, screens, crossing paddles across the middle of the short, and flares to the halfback. Our generally do the same thing. And there you throw deep.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're trying to throw deep, but your offensive line is the plug. One or two, I'm going to get a hit on Brady, or I'm going to sack Brady. I do the same exact defense. If I was on the other side.
Okay. Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to take some kind of shot deep. And I'm just wondering, you know, like I said, running, I hope we do run the ball. But, and again, knowing Bill and him, he probably sit great and sit blunt.
Right.
Like it is.
Sure, and that could happen. Nobody would be happier to see a 1-2 punch than me. Because that means you're controlling the tempo, you're controlling the line of scrimmage, you're playing physically, you're doing everything that you need to do in order to try to, you know, stay ahead and command the game, which is what they need to do here.
No, what I would do, I would bring them both and play them both, you know, just see who has the hottest hand. But
Eric said it earlier. I mean, okay, so if you do that, you're going to make four running backs active in this game. Something has got to give somewhere else, and that's the intrigue in terms of setting the inactive list.
It is. But I'll be honest with you. Oh, you're right, because you got to have Bolden, because Bolden on the special team.
Right, exactly.
And then you're looking at Blunt, Gray, and Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, well, I don't know.
Depends on what the team decides is their best foot forward in terms of philosophy and game plan.
Game plan, true enough. But what do you think about the pass rush, Mr. John? Do you think that, like I said, I don't have no faith in Chandler Jones. You know, I see effort. I don't see no results.
Well,
I see a few sacks.
Yeah,
we
talked a little about that yesterday, Eldridge, and I think that, you know, number one, I think he has a tendency to, this is sort of cliche-ish, I think he has a tendency to try too hard. That being said, I think what I'm trying to get at is sometimes if you can make a criticism of Chandler Jones, he doesn't let the game flow come to him. He's trying to make a play, which nobody can fault, but sometimes he plays himself into a mistake. And we had, I think it was an emailer and even a poster yesterday who correctly, I believe, looked at Jones. And the fact is that when he does rush the passer, he has a tendency sometimes to not set the edge, which leaves him vulnerable against the run, and that's part of the way that I believe that Baltimore had some success last week and how some teams have some success in running the ball in his direction. So what I want to see is certainly effective pass rushing, but you want to make sure that you don't get beat on that side of the field against the run. So,
right.
You know, and if you really have got to rush the passer, then I'd like to see Akeem Ayers come in, and he didn't get any run at all last week. And you brought him in here for a reason, so let's get his butt in there on third down, and let's see if he can't produce for you.
Getting back to Ray Lewis, Ray, I analyzed him as one of the best middle linebackers, but after that come in there, when he knocked down my quarterback, I'm bitter. I'm honest, I'm bitter. But see, he's better because the whole team he's been playing, the Patriots been throwing in his side since the last three.
Yeah.
You know, the last three that he went, you know,
mm-hmm.
The Patriots been throwing in his side. Just like Marshall Faulk. But one thing I can say about Marshall was Sunday after we beat the Ravens, he said, you know what? I got to get him crucial because anybody come back down 14 twice and win the game. Ain't nothing more I can say about that team.
Okay.
You know, I got to give Marshall that, you know.
Yeah.
But Ray just bitter because I guess. get his ratings, and like I said.
Well, he has no reason to be bitter. He's beaten the Patriots before. He's won championships, so I don't understand why he's so bitter or would be bitter toward Tom Brady and what Brady's been able to accomplish. And you know what? The whole, you know, Tuck Rule game, we're really going to have to go back to that. It was almost, you know, it was 14 years ago now. So why are we still talking about that? That's just part of NFL history. I mean, can we go back to Ben Dreith screwing the Patriots back in 78 too? No, we don't do that, but we could, but we don't do it. So, I mean, the rest of the NFL has got to move along here, and I think that's the thing that upsets me the most about hearing what Ray Lewis had to say. It's kind of like, dude, we're kind of by this, okay? It's a rule. It's an obscure rule, but it's a rule. Just like this last week against his beloved Ravens, they didn't pay attention to the rule book and got schooled by the Patriots, and therefore they were caught short and they didn't win. It's that simple.
Exactly. And it also caused jealousy. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think they have a whole lot to be jealous about. The guy won two Super Bowls. I mean, come on. There's nothing for him to be jealous about. I don't know why Ray Lewis has got this, you know, bug up his butt about the Patriots and or Tom Brady. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Why he's angry, why he's bitter, he's got to move on. He's got a couple of rings. No one's going to take those from him. No one's saying he was a cheat. Some might call him a murderer, but no one's calling him a cheater. So let's move on. Let's move on. You've asked us to move on in your personal life. Guess what? We have. It's time for you to move on now elsewhere. And I think that's the issue that I have with Ray Lewis and his comments.
And but one thing about Rex, you know, Rex, if he had a chance to take the Dolphins, he just took the Dolphins. If he had a chance to take the Bills, he took the Bills. Because just like Ray, we are throwing in his side.
Yeah.
One team that he can't get over.
Yeah.
And what did he say when he first came in? I didn't come to get Belichick rings. I come to get a couple. You know, so he didn't accomplish none of that. So that's going to always be a thorn in his side, too.
Right.
So all that rabbit he always doing, I laugh. But I got to give him this. He got a better defense. He got a better running 1-2 punch and a good receiver, a top receiver on the outside.
Yeah, sure.
But they stick with Orton and then that Roman guy from San Francisco, mm-hmm. coordinator. He's pretty good with quarterbacks. He might get E.J. Manuel on the right track because they can't get rid of him yet.
They got a long way to go. I don't think Rex Ryan takes that job without realizing that, hey, you know what? It won't take that much for me to win here.
Exactly. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And then maybe I can get Bill, and then I can be in first place.
Right.
But like I said, his whole goal is to get back at New England and get back at Bill Belichick.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least. Sure.
Yeah, that's why he stayed in East. All right, John, you have a good one, man.
Way to go, Eldridge. That's good stuff all the way around there, brother. All right, Nick Baby Love, thanks for hanging on, Nick. You're in the playbook.
Okay, before I go off on Ray Lewis, because we have a mutual friend that we know personally, and I got, you know, a phone call saying not to record. I've got five different guys in the studio. I'm going to do a song. It'll be ready by tonight because I'm very angry with Ray. He knows better.
Okay, I agree with that.
Well, because I wanted to talk about your thing. Your jingle and music is ready. It's sensational. he's got it queued up. I'm telling you, they're going to play it everywhere. I'm just shocked how good it came out. Because, you know, I found the young man. I know people across the country from Cowtown. I didn't know what Cowtown was.
That's Fort Worth, Nick.
Okay, so I want Kevin to queue it up and play it. Maybe you haven't heard it, but you're going to go crazy. It's sensational. Back to Ray Lewis. As maybe Kevin's doing there, because I didn't have your email. As far as Ray Lewis, I got a phone call from a mutual friend not to record, but I'm going to record. I got five guys working on now, so I'm going to take what he said and whatnot, because he knows better. I mean, Ray's biggest thing personally, when I've talked to him, because don't forget, I live here, John. I know the whole UM thing, and I'm not going to talk about it and be negative, but are you with me, John?
I'm with you.
So his big thing is, to start with, a wise man once said, God is always right. A wise man once said, God is always right. And he knows Henry Stone, one of the guys, the greatest guys, and he had Casey and the Sunshine Band, all that stuff. He just died at 93. He started, I started Luther Campbell. That's all old news. The Two Life Crew, so now you know where I'm going with the conversation. So
okay.
He knows better. I got a bunch of phone calls. The bottom line to the thing is if I can make this statement, and I'm just trying to get very specific because I want to talk about our guys, is here's what I'll say as I'm queuing up Ray. You know better, and I know why you're doing this, Ray, simply because it's not what they're saying about you as long as they're talking about you. You know the old wise tale. It doesn't matter what they say, John.
As long as they're talking about you, right. Okay.
And that's why I took the last couple of weeks and trained this kid in what he did. It's all original music. I'm going to even force Felger and Maz to blast that thing. It just happened to work out where we got somebody, and I know you did the friend thing and all that with him last night, and hopefully Kevin can cue it up and play it. But the bottom line is, as far as our guys, I'm very nervous about this game. As I've told everybody, I think we got to reel it back in because this is about legacy. Correct me if I'm right or wrong. Has anybody ever gone to six Super Bowls?
I have to look at the list. I believe that there have been, yes. In fact, I think it's Pittsburgh.
Okay, but
I just have to look at about, I have to look at the list.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, as usual, I'm a little bit convoluted, my brother. But I meant as far as individual players, I think he's the first quarterback and maybe player that has played in six Super Bowls if they win.
If he gets there. Well, I'm sure that will be talked about. I'm sure that'll be talked about because that'll, you know, from a historical perspective, as we all know, there's a lot of people who follow the history of the league. Then that'll be a large storyline, I think, all being told. Nick, thanks. I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple of other callers here before we get to Field Yates. Here's Noel in Denver. Noel, you're in the playbook.
John, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Thanks, Noel. Same to you.
Sorry about the University of Texas. Guys, but they need a coach.
Okay.
Hey, John.
Yes,
John,
sir.
The gentleman just called us from where I'm from, Worcester, Mass. So
okay.
And I love his scenarios and attitude. But this Ray Rice, this is an angry person.
You mean Ray Lewis?
Yeah. He can hide behind his motivational speeches and his religion, but he has no belief in what he's talking about, obviously. To have a statement like he just made is absolute jealousy, absolute envy, absolute anger. And I couldn't wait to say this because, you know, it's like I like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but this man is wrong. Mm-hmm. The other side of the scenario is I think that Rex, the other situation is Rex probably should have taken Atlanta because he's going to mess up another quarterback, and I'm really happy to have him back in the league. And for that reason,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I think the egos of these people are so huge, John, that his whole motivation in life is to kiss Belichick's ring. not to kiss his ring.
Yeah, I get it.
No, because don't you agree that Atlanta? I mean, they've got it. Just fix the defense. That's a great football team.
Yeah, I got to admit, it was a little bit of a surprise to me. It did seem like Atlanta would have been a better philosophical fit because they need the help defensively. They've got a potential, you know, franchise quarterback already in place in Matt Ryan, and you know, but he's going to choose, you know, to go the route that I guess he feels like he's more, you know, adapted to because the fact they've already got a strong enough defense. So it's a little curious his decision. I think that there is something to what you say. Because I think he relishes the chance to go up against a guy like Bill Belichick twice a year, and staying in the AFC East affords him that opportunity. So I will say this for Rex, he doesn't shy away from anything. I gotta wonder how much common sense he really has, but he certainly doesn't back down from a challenge. So you know what I want to do? I want to beat his ass twice now.
You know, you always make sense, and I love the take you took on it because it's more of a challenge for Rex than maybe ego getting in there.
I totally agree with that, Noel. I really believe that. Yeah, I think his ego's gotten in the way of this a little bit. Otherwise, why wouldn't he go someplace where he might actually have a chance for some longevity? Why wouldn't he go to a place where he might actually have a chance to win a division and get into the playoffs in a division that had a sub-500 record winner? Makes no sense.
That makes no sense to me. I'll leave you with this because I already have another caller. Being here in Denver watching that game Saturday night with 300 Patriot fans at Blake Street Tavern, there'll probably be 500 this weekend. But you know, I'm glad there's medical marijuana across the street. You can go get some. That's what that game did to you here for. I don't need another one like that. Three heart attacks I can't handle. I think the D will show up this time around, and God bless Tom Brady, because that was the greatest game I've seen in my lifetime. And having a Raider fan sit with me, turned to me and said, that was the best football game I've ever seen.
Wow. Wow. And it was a good game. It was just, it was hard for a lot of Patriots fans to take, I understand, because of the way that it ebbed and flowed. But you look at it strictly from an aesthetic point of view. It's a hell of a game last weekend. Hell of a game.
If you weren't a fan of either team, you'd say, oh, my God, that's the greatest.
Well, I had two buddies of mine who live in Texas who basically texted me after the game and said, whoa, congrats to your Patriots. He said, that was just a hell of a football game. And they both said basically the same thing. So it was nice, you know, they're Cowboy fans naturally, and it was nice that they recognized that. No, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, do you think Peyton should stay or go?
I think he's declining. I'd love to see another Tom Brady Manning. I wanted to see it this weekend. I really did.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to see him go before he gets hurt. That's where I want to see him go.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And I think we pretty much, yeah, we said as much yesterday, yeah.
His legacy is formed, and it just move on and go. But we'll see what happens with the coaching deal here. They're thinking of Case and Peyton here in Denver are really close, and they think that Peyton's going to make his decision better based on whether Adam Case leaves or not.
Well, you know, if Gay stays, then more power to him. I think the choice there, and we talked about this yesterday as well. I think Elway should go get Gary Kubiak.
Well, I think that's your number one guy he's after.
Okay, good. But if he goes and gets Kubiak, does Gay stay or does Gay go for a head coaching job somewhere?
I don't know. He's been interviewed now. He may go before.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. I love your show, John. I just don't have time all the time to give you a ring.
No worries, brother. I appreciate you.
I think the defense will show up this weekend, and I think we'll be fine.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And you're always welcome on the show. Brooklyn Matt, we found you again. Where are you, buddy?
I'm down here in Brooklyn. I figured I'd give you two phone calls this year.
Outstanding.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's on you?
I get to follow Nick Babylove. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He's a character, all right.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he was asking you about this number six. I think he meant players have ever been to six.
Yes, players. But, okay, that's what he was talking about.
Oh. Yeah, you weren't sure, and then you mentioned Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and Dallas have been to eight Super Bowls.
Eight Super Bowls, right.
And New England and Denver have been to seven.
Right.
So if New England wins on Sunday, you know what happened.
Yeah.
That's nice to be there up with the other
guys. Be there with the other guys, that's right. Yeah, absolutely, which would be nice to have it happen.
But with Peyton Manning, I want to see a train wreck. I just want him not to be able to let go and just be like, after a couple of years in the future, to see him running through the porthole of an NFL game in a straitjacket, just trying to run onto the field to get another pass off with some guys in white coats following him with nets.
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, I mean, please. I mean, really, come on. Oh, my God. And then Ray Lewis, I think, is just trying to get some headlines and trying to stay relevant.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that was brought out by Nick and some others, too. You're right. He's never happy when he's not in the news, and he's got to get in the news.
Yeah, I like guys with big mouths. You know how we are down here.
Yeah, right.
But with Rex Ryan, I think that he's going to be good for the Bills because I give so much importance to the psychological aspect of professional sports. And I just think he would bring out the best in that team. They need somebody to shake up the doldrums up there and really, you know, pump up some life into that place.
Right. Can't disagree with that. That's right. Absolutely. What are your thoughts on the game? Let me get your quick thoughts on the game and where you think the focus should be for the Patriots.
I'm worried about, do you think Gray is going to play or not?
I think that's right now up in the air. As we talked about it in the opening hour, he could easily be an inactive like he was last week, and you could see him again because of his success against the Colts previous this year. I honestly, if he is active, somebody else has got to give up a spot, and I'm just not sure that it comes from any one of those other running backs.
I'm wondering where the yards are on the ground are going to come from, because Blunt, if you've seen him versus Buffalo and last Saturday night,
I know.
He's crappy.
He doesn't hit the line with the kind of authority that I think you need to, especially when you have an offensive line that the Patriots have had that's struggling to not only create but hold their gaps.
He's running straight up and down. He's not like at the angle you need to hit the line. I think, what's wrong? He's like just like up and down.
And the irony in all of this,
over easily.
Yeah, and the irony in all of this is that Gray, earlier in his career, especially in the preseason this year, his one big fault that a lot of people were pointing to was he ran upright too much. So
I'll leave you with this: if the Patriots are kicking some serious ass on Sunday, I want to hear Your Love by the Outfield pounding out the Gillette Stadium PA system again. That was killer.
I'll put the request in. Thanks, Brooklyn Matt. All right, on the line now, ESPN NFL insider Field Yates joining us on the Patriots and the Colts getting ready for the AFC Championship game this Sunday. Field, thanks for a couple of minutes today, buddy. Appreciate it.
Always good to catch up, my friend. How are you?
Wonderful. Good today. So, you know, we've been talking focus all day about, you know, where it should be, maybe what the Patriots need to be looking at, clearly what the Colts need to be looking at from their perspective. If you're New England, and we know since you've spent time here, you spent quite a bit of time looking at it from this point of view, where should your focus be knowing what you know following the win over the Ravens last Saturday?
I think the focus this week has to be on finding a way to stop, but slow down that guy in number 12 uniform for Indianapolis, because rarely is there a player who meets the hype in sports, not just in football, but really any sport. Andrew Luck has met and perhaps exceeded the hype that followed him during the pre-draft process coming out of Stanford. I mean, this guy is the real deal. There might not be three better quarterbacks than him in the NFL today.
Uh-huh.
If I'm the Patriots, I'm finding ways to try and contain Andrew Luck because he's just that good.
Yeah. Well, I think you that's the ultimate compliment. You've got to focus on somebody. You want to try to limit what Andrew Luck can do. Short of that, we'll try to sort of maybe take this a little bit microscopically. We know what the Colts can do. Their running game has improved. Their tight end production has been outstanding this year, with all due respect to, you know, clearly maybe the best single tight end in the game in Rob Gronkowski. The Colts have done a pretty good job at that. So in terms of the passing game and where the focus for the Patriots has been previously in November to try to limit T.Y. Hilton and take Reggie Wayne and maybe Moncrief out of it, if you're the Colts, might you not think about hitting your tight end up a little bit more?
Yeah, you got to try. I think that the good news is if the Colts do try to rely on their tight ends versus T.Y. Hilton or some of their other explosive playmakers in the receiving core, including the third-round pick Dante Moncrief, the tight ends are very good. I don't think that they're home run strikers like T.Y. Hilton would be. For the Patriots defensively, you know, one of the things you have to be able to do is limit big plays, especially in the playoffs, because they can change the course of a game in less than 10 seconds. So
right.
if it's the tight ends that are really doing the business against the Patriots, I think that's a good thing for them. Another area of focus is, I think that, the, you know, I just mentioned the offense. We talked a lot about that already. But defensively, the Colts have been able to get more pressure on opposing quarterbacks of late. And it's not because of Robert Mathis, who, of course, is out for the season due to suspension, and of course, first the suspension, and then secondly, the Achilles tear. And then it's not Bjorn Werner, their 2013 first-round pick out of Florida State, who they drafted to be a pass rusher. It's other guys. They're piecing it together. They're finding ways to gain pressure. And also for Jonathan Newsom, their fifth-round pick out of Ball State this year, has really put together some nice tape of late. So the Patriots, they had an excellent game in terms of slowing down the very good edge rushers of Baltimore. The pass doesn't get dramatically easier this week because his Colts front seven is pretty good.
Yeah, and I was just going to say then, it sounds to me then maybe somewhat similar to how they approached them a couple of months ago would be a certainly good starting off point, at least for the Patriots in terms of looking at the Colts.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, anytime it's the AFC Championship game or NFC Championship game, one of the fun things about it is that you also prepared for what we haven't seen as of yet, right? That's sort of the exciting part of it, is that there are so many wrinkles and so many things that each team hasn't been able to show on tape. Maybe the Patriots will line up with just three offensive linemen this week and try to throw a wrench in the Colts' defensive plans to catch them off guard.
Sure.
Not to deceive them, however. We don't want the Patriots to do any of that. But they're asking to prepare for not just what a team has shown itself capable of bringing to the table, but also something they haven't seen as of yet.
Sure. All right, so if you're New England as well, what do you do about the Jonas Gray conundrum here, considering the game he had in November and considering he was inactive last week?
Listen, I think that Jonas Gray was not inactive last week because of a knee injury. I don't think that was the case at all. He was probable in the injury report. I know there were some suggestions either right after the inactives were released or even during the game that Gray was sitting because of that ankle injury, excuse me. But
right.
I don't think that was the case. I mean, I think what you know when you play the Baltimore Ravens is that if your plan is to try to beat them up on the ground game, it ain't going to happen. They're the best run defense in football this year outside of the Detroit Lions. And just like when the Patriots played the Lions 6, 7, 8 weeks ago and Tom Brady threw the ball over 50 times, that was going to be part of the game plan against the Baltimore Ravens this past Saturday night. On Sunday, though, although the Colts' defensive front seven is improved, I still expect Jonas Gray to be active, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots try to control the game on the ground for stretches of the 60 minutes.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that's the case, because if they do, then I think, you know, we're all thinking along the same page here, and I think that's going to be the most effective way to beat the Colts. You want to try to limit the opportunities that a guy like Andrew Luck can do it, and you know he can beat you, and he can beat you deep, and he can put points up on the board, and he's a tremendous talent, and the Colts are eminently capable here. If Indianapolis is to win this game, what does it come down to in your estimation?
First of all, the run defense has to be much better than what it was last time.
Obviously, right.
They have played better since then. I think you have to find a way to slow down Gronk. You know, I mean, there was a play in that game that I'll never forget. The Gronkowski touchdown catch that he had, I think it was 42 yards, just runs a short out-breaking route, catches the football, spins, breaks tackles, runs through tackles. It was a vintage Gronk play, and Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, the terrific NBC team, had a great call of the play. I think it was like a freight train into the end zone, what Al Michaels said, mm-hmm. as Gronk broke the plane. If you can find a way to slow him down, maybe your corners can handle the Patriots wide receivers, because these cornerbacks are very, very good. Vontae Davis is terrific, and Greg Toler, their second cornerback, is a player that probably gets less, you know, less pub than he deserves. He's a pretty good player as well. So I think that the X factor is, who on earth is going to stop Rob Gronkowski, especially on this defense?
Right. All right, so you know a little bit about both sides. You've probably seen, you know, the other side of it from the NFC a little bit as well. Best guess, if you want to, we'll call it a prediction. Who meets on Super Sunday?
I want to say 50 preseason predictions. I think 48 of them just flat out stunk. I mean, just that.
Well, at least you're honest.
Hey, there's no other way to beat it up front. And two of them were pretty good. And one of them could be very, very good. And that was the Patriots and the Seahawks meeting in the Super Bowl. So for now, I think I'm married to that prediction. So turning back at this point, I will go with the Patriots meeting the Seahawks on Sunday, which I guess answers the question in a roundabout way. I think the Seahawks will find a way at home to take care of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And they're a buzzsaw defensively. They're practically allergic to touchdowns, and they don't give up big plays.
Right.
The Seahawks defense is absolutely terrific.
Yes, it is. And that'll be a discussion for another day. Field, thanks for a little time today. We do appreciate it. We'll run into you soon, I'm sure.
Sounds good, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, joining us here in the playbook. Let me get to a couple of, by the way, if you hadn't heard, if you're not paying attention to social media, no real surprise here, but Heisman Trophy winner Marcus Mariota from Oregon is jumping to the NFL. So one of the stats that's come across here, his touchdown to interception ratio, 105 touchdowns to 14 picks for his college career. And add to that another 29 rushing touchdowns. That's just flat out amazing is what that is. I don't know that he's going to be around for the Buffalo Bills or anybody like that to take because Bills don't hold a first-round pick this next year. But I still think he can end up making somebody very, very, very happy when it comes down to it this next spring. On Twitter, Michael says, John, the focus has to be our defense. We cannot let Luck take his boys down the field because he will. Let's see what else we have. Steve says, who knew that Eskal and Ray Lewis were among the NFL's history cognoscenti? Lessons are learned every day. Steve, you're on your mark today, brother. Jose says, I hope Stork isn't out for Sunday. We need him. He's one heck of a player at center. And also, who do you think will have a bigger run game Sunday, Blunt or Gray? And who will take on the role at center if Stork is out? My guess is that Wendell would stay at center if Stork is out. Run game, I got to go with Blunt right now, only because I still think there's doubt as to whether or not Gray is even active. I suspect he will be, but I'm not so sure where the inactive player comes from. It's going to have to come from another area, and I think they love Bolden too much on special teams to make him the odd man out. They're not going to shut out, you know, Vereen, so it's got to come from another spot on the football team. So, you know, because there's some doubt, at least right now, and I want to get a look at the injury point later, report later this afternoon, and maybe begin to start to formulate that kind of an opinion, I'd have to say Blunt, at least right now. Just kind of throwing it out there. Let me get to a couple of emails that we have here as well. This one came from Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia. It says, I was listening to Tuesday's show, and I could have sworn I heard you say you'd prefer if the Patriots didn't take the ball in the second half. I'd really love to hear your explanation of this, because to me it's lunacy. I get up wanting to get up early, but to me deferring is a no-brainer. Well, you got to pay attention, I think, a little bit more to the show, Murray, because I've long banged on the fact that I like the football. When you win the coin flip, I want to be aggressive, especially when you're on the road, especially when you're going up against an opponent that you know can score. You want to grab momentum while you can. Look, I'm not necessarily saying that deferring is the wrong thing to do. What I'm saying here is, once and for all, every once in a while, you got to throw a curveball, because a steady diet of fastballs, one of them is going to get bounced out of the park. You follow? You can't always do the same thing. You become too predictable. Last week is another example. You take the ball, maybe the Ravens don't set the tempo by jamming the ball down your throat, five plays and 71 yards on the opening kickoff. Maybe you give your offense a chance to do their own jamming. But no, you're behind 7-0, and you're behind 7-0 in a quick fashion. And that goes away if you take the ball. You've got to learn to pick and choose your spots. That's all I'm saying. And yes, I am a proponent for taking the ball. I understand the philosophy. I understand it completely. And I know why Bill Belichick does it. And it's hard for me to argue against it a lot of times. I'm just saying, throw a changeup. Throw a curveball. Throw a splitter. Throw a knuckle. Do something different. Don't be predictable. Steve says, while I have confidence the Patriots will win on Sunday, if I were to pick a concern for this game, it'd be containing Luck and having him extend plays. Now, that's a great point. He can extend plays by getting out of the pocket. He's got to be contained, which is why I think, you know, the whole issue earlier over Jamie Collins being in coverage or Jamie Collins rushing, this might be a game where you almost spy the guy. He's not necessarily a rushing quarterback in that regard, but he certainly is a threat with his legs. Good to put up. Good to pick up. Let's see. Oh, big fan of the show here, says Jacob, and he says, I think it works best when you and Eric are on together. Woo! There's 2 points there for Escal. I have to disagree, though, with your point about the Colts' rush defense. According to Pro Football Reference, rushing yards against the Colts, Cleveland 115, Houston 137, Dallas 127, Tennessee 142, Cincinnati 110, Denver 88. It's not like Indy hasn't become a shutdown defense against the run, as well as they have given up at least one touchdown the last 6 games on the ground. I think the combination of Blunt and Gray can cause some major problems this week. They have improved, and the whole point behind that, Jacob, was that with Arthur Jones returning into the rotation in there, they are harder to run against. Doesn't mean they will be unable to run against them. They'll just be more difficult to run against them, which is why, again, it would also help perhaps to have both Blunt and Gray eligible, because you can kind of give them different looks and different styles. That's what I'm kind of wondering about. Let's see, what else here? Doug from Brazil. Told you the tight end for the Ravens would be an important thing. If Daniels catch that easy touchdown, I don't know. I'm very confident our defense is going to show up. It's like the offense got this last one for them, like so many times in the regular season that the defense kept them in the game. The line must deliver in the runs, and if they do, we can balance and go play action. I don't think the Colts defense can keep them in the game. Okay, got it. Dan in San Antonio. I'm glad Ray said those things, talking about Ray Lewis. Now the Patriots staff should have a playing in the background in the locker room and plastered all over Brady's locker. Nothing more dangerous to an opposition than a pissed off chip on Tom's shoulder. Yep. That probably will be there. Brian in Essex, Vermont. Don't you think we should have confidence that the last game was an anomaly? Not necessarily because we rolled the Colts already, but because of their body of work over the season. And specifically, Revis and his performance on Saturday, indicative, was it indicative of his body of work in a Patriots uniform as a player in the NFL? Or was it just a game where he and the rest of the D came out flat? I think the focus is the offensive line. The loss of Stewart could be hugely costly down the road. And someone needs to remind Chandler Jones that his brother's recent exploits, some of which we won't discuss, well, he just defended his championship title in the UFC, and does Chandler really want to be the only champion in the group of brothers for a whole year? Yeah, I think he'd be the only one that wasn't. Because then his brother, because his brother won a championship last year. Like that. Let's see, what else we have? Okay, a couple of things on Facebook here, and then we're going to hear Tom Brady from his AFC Championship game press conference here earlier today at Gillette Stadium. Herman says, John, could this be similar to a trap game, similar to the division game we had against the Jets a couple of years back? I remember season we beat the Jets 42-3, and then after the Sunday night game, I thought it was straight shot to Arizona, but now having time to look at that, I'm not counting anything out. Sure it could be. It absolutely could be, Herman, and that's actually a pretty good comparison there. You have to hope that that doesn't happen. So, yeah, I think that is probably going to be said in this locker room this week. Hey, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we had a chance. We waxed the Jets at the Jets. They came back and beat us in the AFC playoffs. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure somebody's going to bring that up, somebody who's, you know, got a little depth of perception. Mark says, love the show. Been too busy to message Ben, but glad to see the boys in yet another AFC Championship game. Not taking the Colts lightly, but if the Pats play their game, they really shouldn't have problem getting to another Super Bowl. And my focus should be on our corners. Not so much Revis, but Browner and Ryan. Colts have some good, solid wideouts. And just like when I watch Browner in the CFL, he looks good at moments. Other times, you're wondering, what the hell is he doing? As far as Ray Lewis, I'll keep it short. There's many plays over history that could have changed a lot if it had gone a different way. That's very true. All I got to say to Ray is TB12, the greatest of all time. Haters gonna hate. Robert says, focus, run the football. Play action passing. Don't overlook the Colts. Yeah. All of it. Yeah. Yeah, Donald, this is Nick. Nick says, it's fascinating, the whole if the snowball ended differently discussion. I never knew that Belichick was under the gun, like Eric said earlier. It seems to me that since he made the playoffs, he would have gotten the third year kind of gratis. To think that the last 14 years never would have happened, very intriguing. Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I understand where I think Eric was coming with that, but I can't say that I'd necessarily agree with that assessment. Just my thought anyway. All right, let's get to the quarterback. Tom Brady, he kind of led off the parade. Well, actually, Bill Belichick led off the parade of interviews today at the stadium. But we want to try to bring you, one or two of these today and tomorrow leading up to game time on Sunday, just to give you a flavor of what it's like here at the stadium. And if you haven't had a chance to listen in, you'll get a chance to hear how he feels not only about the mindset, but about the preparation. And he talked earlier, and some of this has already been put out online today, about the anticipation. He gets a little antsy. Do you feel it? Do you hear it in his voice just a little bit? I think you do. And I'm wondering if you think that's a good sign. And we'll talk more about that in tomorrow's playbook as well. More on the Colts. Russell Baxter will join us in the playbook on Thursday as well, on Prediction Thursday. But let's see what the quarterback has to say.
What have you learned about getting ready to play a team for a second time? And is there a difference in the second time in the regular season versus the second time in a playoff situation?
Well, the games take on a little bit of a different feel. You know, anytime you play a team second time around, you hope you can go in there and do a lot of the same things that you were successful with. Obviously, they know that too. So that's always a chess match. You try to determine the things that you do well versus the things that they didn't do well, and they know their matchups too. So you have to prepare for a lot of things. We played this team quite a few times over the last few years. None of them as important as this game here. So I'm sure they're going to be doing the things they're most confident in. You know, we're going to do the things we're most confident in. And then you know, see how it all shakes out.
Tom, this is going to be your ninth AFC championship game. But for you, what's different, unique, special about this team that you're leading there?
It's a good question. I haven't had, you know, much time to reflect, you know, on this particular, you know, group of guys. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun to be on this team. So we fought through a lot of adversity over the course of the year. You know, we got a lot of mental toughness. We've got, you know, a lot of guys that can, you know, grind with the best of them. So we've shown a lot of improvement, and it all leads to this moment. So we got to be at our best. I think, you know, we obviously, you know, you want to play your best. You got to be at your best physically and mentally. So whatever it takes for us to get there over the course of the next 4 or 5 days, what we have to do. So you just try to stress that to everybody and hope that we can go out and execute as well as we can on Sunday.
Tom, can you use the experience factor of being here nine times to help you guys, especially the veterans leading this team?
Well, I mean, at some point, you know, you don't have the experience, like, and that's certainly when I was younger, and it didn't matter much to me when I was younger. So, you know, as you get older, experience is definitely good as long as you play well. So it's a game like all the other games. I think it's just there's a finality to this game, and obviously only one team advances. It was the same as last week. So we're very fortunate to be in this position, to have a chance to play in it. I think more so anything, you're just excited for the opportunity to be able to do it. It's hard to do, and you know, our team you know, found a way to get there this year. So hopefully we can take advantage of the opportunity.
Tom, there's still nerves as you go through the process. Like every game, like you said, has a different kind of feel for it, and the bigger the game, the bigger the field. You still feel that nervous energy as you start these, like, championship games and playoff games?
Absolutely. And I think that's you know, part of playing sports. And, you know, being really in a competitive situation like we are, that I don't think that ever goes away. You know, you never know what's going to happen on game day. You work as hard as you can to kind of prepare for everything and, like I said, to be physically and mentally right. But, you know, no one can predict what's going to happen. And, you know, you have your vision of the way you want things to turn out on a particular play or scheme or something like that. And if it does, great. If it doesn't happen the way you want to, which is most of the time, you got to figure out something to do. So you know, I think that's where a lot of the nerves come into play, and the anxiousness of just the anticipation of what's going to happen versus, you know, what we prepared for. So you got to prepare for a lot of things.
Hey Tom, you mentioned a few questions ago the adversity you guys faced earlier in the season. In hindsight, was that almost beneficial for this team to go through some negative times and toughen it up maybe?
Well, I think it's good to, you know, always build on whatever experiences you have. So there's definitely times where, you know, you're kind of back against the wall and you got to show a lot of mental toughness and a lot of fight. And, you know, when you can draw on certain things, and we've been in tough situations over the course of the year, and I think Coach makes it pretty tough for us on a daily basis. I think he tries to really challenge us mentally to be at our best every day. So that when you get put in tough situations on the field, you know, you've got something that you put in the bank. So you know, the best teams I've been around that have been the most mentally and physically tough teams. And, you know, anything that can challenge those and strengthen those is definitely ends up being a positive.
Over here. Neither you nor Julian was drafted real high, as we know. Have you talked to him about that? Because now you're one of the best, you know, combinations in football. What does that say to you either about scouting or how once you're here, no matter where you're drafted, you can succeed?
Yeah, and I think that's a great, you know, something that's really great about the NFL is it, you know, everyone starts at a certain place, but, you know, you earn what you get in the NFL. So the competition's tough. So a guy like, you know, Julian, for example, who has fought every single day of his life to get to this point, you know, talk about something that strengthened him over time. Obviously, his experience as a younger athlete did. And when you get to the competition, and that's just what's in your character, you know, he fought every day since he's got here, and he doesn't stop now, even though that, you know, you think, wow, you know, take the foot off the gas a little bit. But he, you know, he's become that type of dependable, consistent player for us where he just wants to be better and better and better, and he does, you know, stays after him, works on different things, and, you know, every week tries to elevate his game. So, you know, he's a great teammate to have, and he's got a great work ethic, so He's gonna need to come up big for us this weekend. He knows that. A lot of guys are gonna have to come up big. That's what it's gonna take. We're playing, the other best team in AFC, so it's gonna take everything we got.
Tom, you alluded to Julian taking his foot off the gas a little, maybe. You haven't changed in terms of on-field day of game intensity, whether it was John Mobley in 2001 or Drew Bledsoe before the Super Bowl or Daniel Graham. You're still bananas when the game starts. Is there ever a point that you say, all right, I have to back it off a little bit when the game starts, or does that level of intensity help you with your edge?
I'm not sure. I know that, it's an emotional game, so I need to be emotional out there to play at my highest. So, I try to rest up all week, and I'm actually pretty mellow most of the time, as you guys know. It's just for those 3 hours on Sunday that you get to let it rip, which is really, I think, when you can be you can be yourself. So, you got to go out there and bring a level of energy and enthusiasm all the guys do that, and certainly making good plays helps that. And when you see your teammates make good plays, that's all part of it. So, hopefully we make a lot of good plays.
And just a quick follow is, in your role, you can't necessarily play like a safety or a linebacker. You have to have that poise in between plays. And have you ever had discussions where you said, you know what, I went a little bit off the rails in terms of intensity and getting swept up?
I kind of always can find a way to bring it back to balance. However, I need to be able to, I don't think I ever lose track of plays or, things that I need to do to help coordinate our offense, when we're on the field. So I just think the emotional part is a really important part for me. And I think that's, always been a part of, the way that I play. It's a lot of fun with what we get to do for a living. So, certainly to get to this moment and playing this game is nothing better.
Hey, you what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.